ومن كانت من أسيتنا من جن شلاك تكشور النيل تامين التسمى يشري كل ذلك.
So we'll continue where we left off last night. Questions and answers, specifically related to the subject of practicalities of being Krishna conscious in non-ashram situations. Although we can ask other questions if you like. But one point I was making yesterday is that, after all, this is something new in the Western world. We're introducing a new culture in all respects, in philosophy, in way of life, food, dress, so many things. So it's not surprising if it's not easily accepted in the beginning stages. But it will gradually become accepted more and more. And now they're already seen. Some of the things I've been discussing with devotees throughout the day, some different points I can speak on. One of the things is that naturally for devotees living at home, it's more difficult. One of the reasons is lack of understanding association. But that situation is improving all the time because we're preaching all the time and more people are joining and becoming devotees. So the sangha is increasing, the association of devotees is increasing all the time. One devotee was telling me, Bangalore, maybe you know, just recently one fabulous temple of ISKCON was opened in Bangalore. It's one of the major cities of India. So I don't have much experience in preaching in that particular city. But one of my godbrothers was telling me that there is not a street in any of the more, what we call respectable areas of Bangalore, where there is not at least one family or person who is practicing Krishna consciousness. So I think that situation may be coming in these countries, Bosnia, Croatia, Slovenia, gradually, where within 5 minutes walk, there will be some other devotee living at home practicing Krishna consciousness, so that you can always come together, associate, help each other. Devotees help each other. Prabhupada gave that example of individually we are very weak, just like a twig, just like a thin piece of wood. But if many twigs are put, so one twig you could break like that. But many twigs if put together in a bundle, you can't break it. So association is very important, and gradually that association is increasing. These kind of festivals are also very important to come together, and although it may be a little austere in some ways, the value is that we get so much inspiration from seeing so many devotees. Alright, so let's open it up now to questions. Yesterday, okay. No, that's also one kind of preaching. To live by your principles. It's horrible. It's vivisection and animal experimentation. It's really very nasty. It's not anything for a Krishna conscious person to get involved in. This whole material world, it's very demoniac. The whole modern civilization. Even though, you know, these photos we're taking, the film is made from glycerin, which is in many cases extracted from animal bones. It's practically impossible in the modern age. It's practically impossible to avoid some kind of contact with this demoniac association. I was just reading in the Bhagavatam this morning how this oil drilling, it's a very demoniac thing. It's very disturbing to the earth. But we all came here in cars, right? In cars and buses, driven on oil-based fuels. So it's not possible to fully avoid the influence of this demoniac society. But at the same time, we should try to avoid subscribing to the more demoniac manifestations like this animal experimentation. Just like if you go on to do your master's degree and then you're preaching to the people and say, well, look, you're also doing this, you're breaking your own principles, then how can you preach? So you'll not be the loser if you stick to your principles of Krishna consciousness. Even if for some time it may appear that you're at some material disadvantage, Krishna always sees that his devotees, they're not defeated. Hare Nama, we can't avoid completely contact with this demoniac. We shouldn't exacerbate our contact with it. We shouldn't unnecessarily increase contact with it. But to overcome the unavoidable contact with the demoniac atmosphere of this modern age, we should chant the holy names of Krishna. Another question? That's a question today. Well, if it's a boy, Milan, it's a good name. Krishna Milan, something like that. What was the girl's name? Who was it with me? Girl's names, we have Malati, which is like Matali, and Malati is like Matali, similar. There were some other ones we came up with. Was it? Some other ones which sound like Croatian names. You can also just put them in, but Radha. That's also a girl's name here, right? Radha. From Yusufa, it's Radha. So there you go. No problem. Keep your. Oh, yeah? Okay. But if it's a Croatian name, like Radha, then what's the problem? That's why I said, like. And then
Vishnu.
So you can call him Vishnu. Or Vaishnav. Or Vaishnavi if it's a girl. Yeah, there's always something. There's another. What's that, Maya? That's also a devotee's name. Maya is also a devotee of Krishna. You can call Krishna Mai, which means absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Ananda Mai. Can I get pen and paper also? What I was saying that devotee this morning is that many devotees they're 20 years old now, they were born of Prabhupada disciples, they have been completely Vedic names. Of course, America is a much more cosmopolitan society because they have people from all over the world, so they have all kinds of names. Actually, one devotee, we were on, this was many years ago, we were on Sankirtan in Northern Ireland, and one devotee who I was doing Sankirtan, we came back in the evening, and one of the devotees told me that he showed the book to the woman, and Krishna, and she said, "Oh, that's the name of my daughter." Said, "I just heard that name somewhere, I don't know where I heard it, but I thought it was a very nice name, so I gave the name to my daughter." You can call girls Krishna. It's the name for Draupadi. Everyone in Croatia by now, or most of the people, they heard of Hare Krishna, right? So if you call it Krishna, they've heard of it. No, that's what I'm saying. You have a name, it's some name like Milan, you could make Krishna Milan. Because Milan is a word which means meeting, and it's a common name in Bengal that some Mayapur Das used to be called Bhakta Milan. I'm sure there's a few Bhakta Milans here too. And what's that? You're also saying Muni is also a Croatian name? Muni? No? That man who came to him was sick. Mada? Manne.
Mati. Mani.
Hari.
Well, that's a very good name. So now when you can keep your mother satisfied and give a name, that's Chakravarti. There should be no problem. So many words in Croatian come from Sanskrit. What was that word for tree we heard this morning? Stavla? So the word for plants in Sanskrit, one of the words is stava. So many words are there. You have dvadash and chaturtha, all these words. They're all exactly the same as Sanskrit. Dvadash in Sanskrit means 12. Chaturtha means 4. There's so many words. It's quite dangerous. Why, is that supposed to be some blessing for speculating? I don't even know what you mean, actually. What does it mean? You speculate what? Anyway, whatever you speculate on. Well, Srila Prabhupada certainly recommended that these communities be established. They're not very well developed, but the whole ideas of the principles are very simple. The principle of living in the country is very simple. The whole thing is that they're not meant to be very developed. They don't want them to be very developed. It requires conviction, to live in such a community, the conviction that living away from the modern society with all its demoniac influence is better for your family and for your children. Just like I told that the other day in Ljubljana, I turned on the TV, just had to watch some video, and there at 10 o'clock in the morning was some naked film show. So this is what you're going to be bringing up your children in. They'll also turn on the TV. Maybe not in your home, in someone else's home, and they'll see this, and it's very polluting, it's very contaminating. We know that America was founded by the Pilgrim Fathers from England, because they found the atmosphere in England too oppressive, and they wanted to go somewhere where they could follow their religious principles in peace. They had so much conviction that they left their home and went to a complete... America at that time was just wild. So that can be taken up by those who have the conviction that this, whatever difficulties may be there, for the future generation, we have to give them something better than this, what Prabhupada called topless, bottomless, civilized, so-called civilization. It's the prospect of bringing up children in the modern age, it's very frightening in the modern society. Just to keep them away from drugs and alcohol and all these things, it's a very difficult thing, even if they're brought up as devotees, because the influence of the modern society is so contaminating. So that's why Prabhupada wanted to, he was very concerned to set up these communities. And it's not just that, I mean, it's a very big discussion. Modern life means usually the husband and wife are both working, the children they can't get looked after properly, and there's no support system for older people or younger people or anybody. Another question. Mm-hmm. Just a second. I have something more to say about that, I don't think. Prabhupada didn't insist that everyone go to the firm. He said you can also live in the city and chant Hare Krishna. There's no doubt what he recommended. Okay. Question very much for what? Yeah. Prabhupada wrote in one letter that this movement is a pushing movement. Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj is pushing me, yeah. I'm pushing you.
Yeah, I'm pushing
him. And you should push others. Pushing them to be Krishna conscious. So pushing is required. It's like if we make a notice in the temple that rising at 4 o'clock is good, but you don't have to do it. The most important thing is to always smile at everybody, whatever they do. This is actually some New Age nonsense that we're being imported. Just be nice. But real niceness means to push others to be Krishna conscious. Prabhupada told one story of a young man who was brought up by his aunt, who indulged him. Means she let him do whatever he liked. So he grew up rather wild because he hadn't been disciplined. And when he got older, he got into bad association and he became a murderer, a dacoit, a robber. So eventually he was caught and sentenced to death. So it was to be a public hanging. And just before he was about to be hanged, they said, well, do you have any last request? So this young man, he saw his aunt standing in the crowd crying. He said, yeah, call her up. And she came up to him and said, just put your ear just close to my mouth. So she thought he was going to say something in her ear. But he said, bit it very nastily and severely. He said, that's because I'm here today because of your fault. Because you didn't discipline me, you didn't tell me what is right and what is wrong and guide me in the right path. Therefore, I've now come to this position. So pushing is required. Forcing is not necessary. Prabhupada said, force will not stand. But devotees who are living in the temple, they should understand what is meant by living in an ashram. Prabhupada said that as long as devotees are not living in the temple, as long as they're not initiated, he said, that they may come and visit just like friends or guests. When you become initiated, means you become a disciple, means there's discipline. It's just like that word in English, disciple, discipline, they come from the same root. Are two words related in Croatian also? But anyway, it's the same in Sanskrit. Shasham, Shishya. Shasham means discipline and Shishya means disciple. So when someone becomes a disciple, he's supposed to act under instructions. So devotees who are living outside, or especially as long as they're not taking that commitment, then they may come, they may do some service as they like. But those who live in the temple are expected to follow the rules of the temple and do whatever they are asked to do by the service of Krishna. There is an authority system, which if it is not followed, then everything becomes completely chaotic. Nothing can be done. So those who come to live in the temple, they should do so on the understanding that we have come here for advancement in spiritual life. And advancement in spiritual life doesn't just come by dreaming about it. It is a practical movement. We have so many things to do, Krishna service. You will find in Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada, in one of the purports in chapter 3, Prabhupada speaks about acting in Krishna consciousness as if in military discipline. Of course, Prabhupada also once said that our temple shouldn't be like the army barracks. Yes. But certainly discipline, pushing, they're required. That pushing, that is, it's not done out of nastiness, but that's done out of a sense of dedication to Guru and Krishna. So that is required. Unless you, just like in preaching, unless we push people, of course, it may be that some people, just like if we're selling books, it may be that some people will just explain to them and they just take the books, but other people, they need a little pushing. And when we're pushing them, they may feel a little tension. Because we're pushing and they're pulling. They don't want to take their money. They don't want to give their money. They're attached to their money for sense gratification. But when they finally surrender, give you the lecture, take the books, and they actually feel very blissful. So the same way the devotees say, well, don't push me. I want to be nice. You're not very nice. That means they're just attached. Devotees or so-called devotees have that kind of attitude. It just means they're attached to their sense gratification. They're reading karma books instead of reading Prabhupada's books. There are so many karma books, how to manage, 1 minute manager, so many different books. And they give you all these ideas and how to be nice and smile at others and give peace a chance. All we need is love. That's true, but we need love of Krishna. And love of Krishna begins on the basis of surrender. This is very heavy for some people to hear. True, Krishna consciousness is heavy. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Sava Brahman Paritya Jama Mekam Sharam Praja Hong Kong Sava Papadyo Mokshi Shani Masucha. What is the meaning of this verse? Yeah, okay. So you may say, well, you got it right? I hope so. Now you may say, oh, I'm not standing for Krishna, but I'm not standing for Krishna, president. This is another thing. I'll do what my guru says. No, I won't do what anybody else says. But the town president is a representative of the guru. It doesn't mean that he's the guru. He's being given that position of responsibility because the gurus and GBCs consider him fit for that service. And, of course, if the town president tells you to eat meat or something, then you shouldn't follow it. But if he asks you to engage in service, then the general attitude should be just to follow him. Mm-hmm. Now, it may be that we have difficulties. We all have difficulties because we're all in the appointed audience. But then you can approach the town president and say, oh, I've been asked to do this, but I'm having some difficulty. Whatever it may be, I'm sick, I'm spaced out, I'm not getting time to chant my rounds. There may be different grounds on which it is difficult for us to do different services. But then in that case, we can also approach the town president or the town commander who is engaging us in service and explain this to them. And, town president, town commander, whatever they may be, they're also devotees and human beings. So if there's any problem, they'll try to sort it out. Many times the problem may be in here. As far as management is concerned, Prabhupada gave some directions. Sometimes we come up with all kinds of fancy systems. We have temple president, vice president, advisor. We have temple, vice president, advisor, and who's going to wash the pots? We have all these charts on the wall with arrows going here and there. Prabhupada's management formula was that he wrote one letter that the temple leaders should see that all the devotees in the temple chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulated principles, and attend the classes. And if they do that, management will be at your fingers' end, which means it will be straightforward. Because the devotees have come to this movement, they've come with an ideal. They've come for the purpose of Krishna consciousness. So if the atmosphere is Krishna conscious, then we won't have to push too much. Everyone will naturally want to engage in service. And instead of fighting to avoid service, instead of saying, no, I don't want to wash the pots, you will wash the pots. It'll be round the other way. They'll say, no, you won't wash the pots, I will wash the pots. Of course, we don't see that very often. That kind of atmosphere we want to generate, where everyone's eager to serve Krishna. I remember once I just joined the temple in London, and in London so many devotees are passing through all the time. So the temple commander was fairly new devotee. So he saw one devotee who just arrived, and he said, well, Prabhu, could you help clean the pots in the kitchen? I have the pots. That is ecstasy. Really? So one said, sure. Thank you very much for giving me some service. So when the town president came down and saw that devotee cleaning the pots, he said, what are you doing cleaning the pots? Here's the temple president of the Amsterdam temple, very senior devotee, was and is one of the best preachers in our movement. Well, the temple commander kindly gave me some service today, just facing up. So that kind of, that service attitude. Srila Prabhupada writes that the spiritual master trains the disciple in service attitude. What is Krishna consciousness? Service to Krishna. This word, bhakti, you'll find the scholars, they translate as devotion. Prabhupada always translated as devotional service. In India, there's this common misconception. Bhakti means you just love Krishna. Just love. You just love. Just feeling. But love means service. You love someone, you serve them. And devotional service is by performing devotional service, our natural love for Krishna awakens. that many times I gave that, told that story of the man who comes home from work in the evening and his wife is waiting for him and saying, "Oh, I was just waiting for you to come because I love you so much." The man says, "That's very nice. What did you cook for dinner? I'm very hungry." So I said, "Well, I didn't cook anything, but I love you. I really love you." What kind of love is that? The man would rather, "Well, I'd rather you cook me something than love me." If you actually love, you don't have to, just like in the Western, I'll tell you another story. One of our acquaintances in Bangladesh, young man, he went to America to university. So he came back after 1 year, so he asked him, "Well, how did you like America?" He didn't like it at all. I'm a cultured Vaishnava family. So I said, "You see them, the man and women on the street, and say, 'I love you, darling, honey,' each other right on the street. But then after a few days, they just divorce. They make such a big show of love. Whereas in our culture, a man would never even say to his wife, or they never say, 'I love you.' You just don't say it. You don't have to say it. It's understood. Nowadays they're writing all these books to try to convince the women in India that they shouldn't follow their own culture and they shouldn't follow what their husbands say or any such thing." So this American woman interviewed all these women in one village. She just wanted to show how what she considered stupid all the women are. So one of the questions she asked them was, "Do you love your husband?" And most of them couldn't answer because they never thought about it. It just didn't make sense to them, the question. Then one of them thought about it and said, "Yeah, of course I love my husband." And then again, the next question, "Why do you love your husband?" And she thought about it and said, "Because he's my husband." The American woman thought this was like the depth of ignorance. But they have no understanding. Their love is, I love you, and they're divorced. So the point is that in Indian culture, they don't go around saying, "I love you," but they get on with it. They serve this mutual, the husband takes care of the, brings in some money, and obviously they don't want to serve. They make it many reasoned arguments as to why we should not do this service. This civil president is no good, and the GPC is no good, and it's all corrupt, and we should study these books by these karmis who are very expert in understanding these things, and then we'll become really Krishna conscious. There are such books written, floating around our movement. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that the first qualification of a Vaishnava is simplicity. Simplicity does not mean that he's a fool, but it means that he's just straightforward, that's all. Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm his eternal servant, therefore I should serve him. That's all, that's Krishna consciousness. It's very simple. The Prabhupada often says that Krishna consciousness is very easy. But then other times he would say it's very difficult. So then he explained that it's easy, it's simple for the simple and difficult for the difficult. Just like there's some service to do. Prabhu, there's some service. Okay, let's go, let's do it. You do it, you become blissful. Well, maybe let's have a discussion. Temple commander comes and asks, "Prabhu, could you help wash the pots?" He says, "Well, I have a better idea. Why don't we have an Ishta Goshti? And then we'll discuss it for 3 hours and decide who should wash the pots. And how will anything get done?" Every little thing, you have to have an Ishta Goshti. I saw one in Mayapur. One devotee, that one sannyasi came to the temple. One senior devotee told another devotee, "Give him an asan." So that other devotee turned around and saw another devotee who was less senior than him and said to him, "Give him an asan." One senior devotee told another devotee, "Give a sannyasi an asan." Asan means a seat. So then that other devotee turned around and saw a devotee who had been initiated about 3 days less than him. And he told him, give that sannyasi an asana. So this went on, and then when they finally found the newest devotee in the temple, when finally Maharaj got an asana system. Not a very efficient way of doing it. The basic principle is follow, serve, and be happy. And if there are any severe problems, you can refer them to a higher authority. But a lot of the problems that devotees receive, they're imaginary. They're imaginary, or they're not of such great importance that we have to make a big issue out of it. After all, temple president, he may not be perfect and this and that. But those who are working under him, it's not their position to analyze everything he does and point out his faults. He should have enough faith that the GPC has appointed him as the best man for the job. He didn't make you the temple president. Basically, we should just follow. Keep it simple.
Dogadamce da me moj um prisiljava da meditiram na djelatnosti ili razmišljenja koja nisu povoljna za vidni napredak. Što da radim? Often it happens to me that my mind forcing me to meditate on activities or to think about some things which are not suitable for it.
Don't wash the pots.
Special program. What to do?
Go and wash the pots.
What you put on?
And when you finish that, clean the floor. If your mind has so much time to wander on other things, better you don't have time to think about all these. And when you finish washing the pots and cleaning the floor, then read Srimad Bhagavatam. Fill the mind with Krishna conscious activities. We should discuss, while we clean the pots, we can discuss also about Krishna consciousness. Discuss about this philosophy. We have so many things to discuss. We have a big book, Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to understand. There's so many different points. There may be so many complex questions. I have one disciple who keeps on sending me on. Reads Srimad Bhagavatam very minutely, in great detail, and sends me all these questions naturally. So absorb the mind in this philosophy. We have so much nice philosophy to discuss all these different points. Just become an expert on Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. The mind, that's the nature, it's been uncontrolled for so many millions of lifetimes. Now we have to fill it up with Krishna consciousness. It won't happen immediately, but we have to go on with our Krishna consciousness. So many times devotees come and they say, well, my mind's out of control, my senses, what should I, I'm struggling, what should I do? So what's the answer? Even if our mind is harassing us, which it will, even if our senses are agitating us, which they will, we can't give up Krishna consciousness. What should I advise? My mind is agitated. I feel like going and watching a movie. So what should we advise? Okay, go and watch it. No, we're not going to do it. We have to go on with our Krishna consciousness. The struggle, we're trying to chant, and the mind, we're supposed to chant and hear, and in the meantime, the mind is going everywhere, all over the universe. Keep on trying. Pray to Krishna for help. One Sangitan party I was on in England for several months, there were three of us on that traveling party. And myself and another, out of us three, myself and another devotee, we were just completely in bliss. We were going out every day and distributing lots of books. And the other devotee who was with us was trying very hard, but he was at the same time much heavy in his mind. But he kept on trying. He went out every day, didn't do many books. But he was very serious about his Krishna consciousness. If you write Gauranga on your foot, that's not very good. You don't want to put Gauranga on your foot. I saw someone had written on the floor there, in the Mangalwadi of the Arthana Decency, someone had written Gopinath on that canvas on the floor. And everyone's putting their foot on that. Anyway, so this devotee was struggling, but he kept on struggling. He didn't give up. He was very serious, but he was having a lot of agitation for the mind. Anyway, after about 2 years of this, going out on the street every day, full day, 10 minutes left. Let me finish this story, thank you. He became the top distributor all of a sudden. It was just like Krishna gave him a shower of mercy. Top distributor. And then after that, he went to South Africa when they were collecting to build that fabulous temple in Durban. And he started collecting luxury, and for months he was the top luxury collector in the world. He was collecting thousands of dollars every day. He didn't think, now I'm collecting so much money, so now I should live very comfortably. Alright, so there's only 10 minutes left, but I can go on if somebody else wants, if you want to miss the argument. I'm crippled at the moment. I can't dance anyway. First night I came, we had quite an ecstatic kirtan, and during that I sprained my ankle. So we can go on through the argument. All right. Yeah, we can go on. I'm very, 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 very short. There's another question.
Why is it so important that the disciple before accepting passes an exam, which can be self-expressing question?
So that he knows what he's doing, why he's doing what he's doing, not just out of sentiment. No. This guru smiles very nicely, okay. So I should become his disciple. But you should understand, it gives some indication of that the disciple or would-be disciple is ready to follow the discipline.
Okay.
To become a disciple is a very serious thing. Guru Mukha Pabdavaka Chitete Kuriya Aika Ana Kareya Mameyasha. The real meaning of becoming a disciple is to give up all your own personal desires and simply be prepared to do whatever the Guru says. It means you have to accept the Guru as good as God. It's a very serious thing. So if you think, well, this Guru smiles nicely, so I should become his disciple. Then afterwards, you get initiated, and then he chastises you, and you think, well, he's not smiling so nicely now. That means you don't understand what it means to accept a Guru, what a Guru means. Guru means heavy. That's the literal meaning, one of the meanings of the word.
Yeah.
Heavy with knowledge to direct the disciple.
Koliko sam samostalni u svjesnosti Krišne, koliko integrativnosti možemo... Koliko sam samostalni u službi za Krišnu, koliko integrativnosti možemo dopustiti, a da ne zaglavimo u čumom uživanju. To which extent are we independent in our service to Krishna? How much creative can we be not to enjoy? Not to.
How much independence do we have? As much as we are given. Basically, we're all servants. Especially when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we have to be guided in practically every step. New devotees don't know anything about what they should be doing, and due to not knowing, they make mistakes all the time. First thing they'll walk into the temple and walk up, and they have to be told, offer obeisances. First time they walk in and offer their obeisances with their feet towards the deities or something like that. So there are so many, practically every step they have to be guided. when a devotee becomes more mature, it's expected that he can perform service. He's understood what it means to perform service, and he doesn't need to be told what to do at every step. And all the devotee is expected to become more mature and responsible. Just like the children are under the guidance of the parents, and especially when they're very young, they have to be guided and taught at every moment. When they get older and they become more mature, they should be able to fulfill the desire of the parents without having to be told what to do by the parents at every moment. Now, that's one thing about independence. Another thing is creativity. Yes, Krishna consciousness means to bring out the best in every person. Discipline is there, and expression is also there. But you'll find in, of course, modern art is just some kind of madness. You just get a whole bunch of junk and weld it together and sell it for $10,000 and call it a sculpture. The modern ideas of self-expression, they're just expressions of madness. Like Picasso, he's just mad. He's literally mad. But his art is considered to be a great, very expressive. It's expressive of his madness. Traditional art and creativity means, first of all, you have to be trained how to express your creativity. You have to be trained how to paint. You have to be trained how to play a musical instrument in harmony with others. Maybe you saw some rock stars, they used to get their guitars and just smash, electric guitars, smash them into the amplifiers. It was original when they first did it. It was a new idea. Creativity to be actually pleasing, that has to be channeled also. So Krishna consciousness is a cultural movement, and it's a pioneering preaching movement. It's meant to bring out the best in every individual. But bring out the best doesn't mean that you become, creativity doesn't mean that you become like a hippie, but that you're guided how to use your talents in the service of Krishna. So we have art, music, cooking, that's creative. But that creativity must be within guidelines, just like dressing the deities. Don't be too creative. Don't dress them in Levi jeans. You can be creative within guidelines. You can make wonderful dresses for the deities, but they should be within the taste that is liked by Krishna. You have to know what Krishna wants and serve him in that way. Another question? This is not the kind of music they have in the spiritual world. It's creative, but it's not the style that Krishna loves. Yeah.
Can you please tell something more about those present questions? Why is only that necessary? Isn't there something more?
Not only that necessary. Mm-hmm. It's not that if you can academically answer 13 questions that you're qualified for initiation. You see that you're following the principles very carefully and chanting, and then you have a proper attitude towards devotional service. Mm-hmm. The 13 questions is only part, not all in all.
Kad Krišna osobu dovede do duhovnog učitelja, odnosno koje kvalifikacije osoba treba imati da bi do toga došlo? Which are the qualifications which a disciple has to have to become a disciple, to have a guru?
Well, if we saw the qualifications as they're listed in Hari Bhakti Vilas, probably we'd all give up trying to become disciples. The qualities that are mentioned in Shastra are so high, it's almost like being a pure devotee, almost. Prabhupada, being very merciful, accepted anybody who showed some willingness to serve Krishna. That's the main qualification, to have some sincerity to serve Krishna. I have to take a break now for 5 minutes. I have to go to the bathroom. So, look at ourselves. We'll probably lose half the people. But anyway, it's up to you. Go and take darshan up on the ground. Stretch your legs and come back. I'll come back also.
The person who worships Krishna exclusively without any other desire, Krishna says in Gita, I carry what they like and preserve what they have. So what's the question? I can't understand the question. If you have a different realization to Krishna, then you're a fool. If you don't believe what Krishna says, then you're just a fool. You have a better realization than what Krishna says. There was Prabhupada told one story. There was a commentator, I don't know who it is, I never heard the story anywhere else. Prabhupada said, sound on the tape itself like Arjuna. I don't know, anyway. One commentator in South India was writing a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. So when he came to this verse, Ananya Chintayantamam, Krishna said, Yoga Kshemam Bahami Aham. It means, I carry what they require. Bahami means I carry, just like. So the Acharya writing this, he didn't appeal to him. That why would? Because he was thinking he should serve Krishna. Why will Krishna carry those devotees? So he just put a line through that. And then it was time for his midday bath. He went to take his midday bath at the river. So the system is that. The system is that the Brahmin will take his midday bath and then he'll come back and what the wife has cooked, he will offer to Krishna. And then the wife will serve the husband, prasad. Then the wife will take her husband's remnants. That is the system. So what happened was, Acharya went to take his bath. Now, in those days, taking a bath, it's not just taking a bath, it's quite a whole thing. It's called Sandhyatarpan. There are many rituals to be performed, along with taking the bath, which concludes in chanting the Gayatri Mantra. And if you go through them quickly, you could maybe do it in 20 minutes. It takes a little time. Anyway, shortly after he had left, two young boys came to the home. One was black and one was white. Very beautiful boys. And they were carrying baskets on their heads. But their bodies were all cut. So Acharya's wife was very surprised to see them. She thought, who would be such nice boys? Who would cut them like this? So she asked the boys, where are you coming from? What are these baskets? And they said, oh, we have come from your husband and we brought all these foodstuffs. So she didn't know what was going on. So she thought, well, my husband sent some foodstuffs. There must have been some feast for Brahmins or something that wasn't announced previously and he's sending me the remnants. The boys gave her all the food and she requested them to stay for some time. Said, she asked them, how you cut so much? Said, oh, yeah, your husband cut. And she said, my husband, he wouldn't do such a thing. She requested the boys to stay. Said, no, we don't want to stay. We're going to leave before your husband comes. He cut us so much. So she was bewildered. She didn't know what was going on. She saw all these remnants of food. She thought, well, my husband sent it, so she sat down to take. Very wonderful food stuff. Then her husband came back and said, hey, what's going on? Why are you eating? It's completely against the dharma of women. How can you do that? I could never expect such a thing of you. And then she became more confused. She said, you send this food. So her husband asked, you explain everything. So then he understood that I cut this. Bhagavad Gita is not different from Krishna. So Krishna has appeared, cut, I cut him. And Krishna is showing, Yoga Kshema Bahami Ham, I carry from my devotees. So Krishna literally carries
But the devotee who is Ananya Chaita, who is completely surrendered to him, Krishna is, as much as the devotee is eager to serve Krishna, Krishna is eager to serve the devotee. So, devotee doesn't want Krishna to serve him. But Krishna is very much eager to serve. There's another story similar to that. Of Jaijai Goswami. Jaijai Goswami. You see, many of the writings, just like Jaijai Goswami's Gita Govinda, many of the books written by the Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they're pastimes of Krishna. They're not exactly in Shastra, but they are the realizations of these acharyas. That they are seeing in with their transcendental vision these pastimes taking place and they're writing them down. So, Jaijai Goswami, he was writing Gita Govinda, and in his meditation as he was writing, he came to a point where Krishna is asking Radharani, you give me your lotus feet. Then thinking that he thought, no, this isn't proper because we have to worship Krishna, not Krishna. He thought he couldn't write it down. So he went off to take his midday bath. Then, in the meantime, his wife was waiting for him to come back, and he came back very quickly, it seems. So he just came in and wrote something on the palm leaf manuscript and went out again. So his wife, Padmavati, she thought this is something very strange. So then, after a few minutes, he came back again. And his wife was asking that you're coming and going, very unusual. So Jaijai, he didn't know, what are you talking about? I went to the river and I just came back. He said, no, you came and you wrote something and you went in. So Jaijai was confused, what are you talking about? So then he said, well, I came and I wrote something and I said, what's she talking about? So he looked at the manuscript and then he saw the words which he thought of but which he didn't dare to write. Give me the dust of your lotus feet. So he understood that Krishna wanted this written, so he came and wrote it. I didn't dare to, but now Krishna's written it, so I can't refuse. So these are very nice pastimes. We're discussing how to control our mind and senses. We should control our mind and senses so that we can come to the point of serving Krishna properly. When Prabhupada was installing the DCs at Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles, he explained actually what is the meaning of deity worship. He said that actually Krishna has come here in this form. Now first of all he said, don't think that this is a brass-made idol. If you think this is a brass-made idol, then to you he will remain a brass-made idol forever. But if you think this is Krishna, my Lord, I must serve him, then Krishna will reveal himself to you. Krishna has come because he wants to talk to you, so you have to prepare yourself to talk to him. He mentioned Bhamsidas Babaji, that's what it is. Bhamsidas Babaji Maharaj, he was talking to his deity. When Prabhupada told the story of Sanatana Goswami, how Krishna was talking to Sanatana Goswami. So we have to control our mind and senses and serve Krishna. What a great opportunity it is. This Maya is so strong. We are attracted to all kinds of worse and useless things. But if we see what is our goal, to become Krishna conscious, then all the attractions of the material world become as insignificant as straw in the street. So let us try to be Krishna conscious. Any other questions? I don't know if I answered that question. I still don't know what the question is, actually. But the other question, I still don't remember what the question is, actually.
Maybe it could be whoever wrote it could try writing it again.
Maybe we could write it in Croatian. Is it written in Croatian?
Yes.
Oh. All right.
Okay, next one. on a faculty. I help them at home with housework. I try not to disturb them.
Yeah.
But even though whatever I do, they're never satisfied, and I'm attached to them in a way, and I'm annoyed with all of the discussions, and they're intolerant. I feel that I'm not very satisfied, and it begins to influence my life. The question is what to do in such situations, until when, and how to tolerate their behavior.
We have in this country the parents' union, isn't it? The parents are so favorable parents. And who was that mother who came this morning? Who was she goes and visits parents of less favorable devotees. Maybe, I don't know if you've tried that, but it might be useful to call in some devotees who are of your parents' age, or parents of devotees who are satisfied with their children being devotees. If you haven't already had or tried such an approach, I would suggest to do that. Maya Prabhu was just telling me yesterday that his parents, when he became a devotee, they were quite doubtful.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they told their parents' friends were highly positioned, the doctors, lawyers, like this, and they all said, oh, that's very good. The Hare Krishna movement is a very good movement, and very, very intelligent, high-class people join this movement.
Mm-hmm.
So then the parents became convinced. So try that first. Otherwise, even if that doesn't help, then what to do, you have to tolerate. Take inspiration from Prahlad Maharaj. And however intolerant your parents are, they're probably not nearly as intolerant as his father was. But he tolerated, and Krishna was very pleased with that. Everyone who's taken to Krishna consciousness, they all have different situations. Some parents are so favorable that they themselves become devotees. Some are very much against, and there's all kinds of, it's like a whole spectrum in between. Whatever situation we're in, we should think that anyway, this is Krishna's mercy upon me. Within this situation, I should try to become Krishna conscious. There's ultimately, so in Russia recently, during the time of oppression, the authorities were trying to stop Krishna consciousness by torturing the devotees and arresting them, but they couldn't stop it. So if you have that much determination, there's nothing anyone can do.
Today after initiation, the sacrificial fire was surrounded by food, and the question is, how should we take this food? Some devotees say there's a lot of karma in it, and some say that it's mahaprasadam.
I've never heard it said there's a lot of karma in it, but I've heard it said that it shouldn't be taken. I don't know if it's telling the truth. Why don't you write a letter on what the actual vidhi is, what the actual rule is.
Mm-hmm.
Someone can write to Krishna Shaitapur and ask him. Many mm-hmm. questions like this come up, and it's more or less in, you're supposed to research all those things. Don't think you're going to go to hell if by taking a banana. But just in case you do, then you should ask him first. Any other questions? We should try to see the guardian devotees. Translated? There are three ways of... we should relate with devotees on different levels in different ways. Devotees who are senior to us, we should respect. Devotees who are on equal level with us, that means more or less initiated at the same time, and we should treat them as friends. All devotees as friends, but not more than friends. And those who are much junior to us, we should try to help them to get started in Krishna consciousness. And all devotees, we should serve. Now, we should see the good in others means we shouldn't look for faults. Different kinds of attitudes.
Some people are always looking for the faults of others without appreciating the good things they do. Actually, there's one story I'll tell. Bhakti, yesterday, Bhakti Chandra Sri Thakur said that I'm always looking for the faults of others to correct them. But one of his disciples was very kind of passionate guy. He was always fighting with the other devotees. So he passed away quite young, and one day the devotees were talking about him, and they were all telling about all the different fights they had with him. Then Sarasvati Thakur walked in the room and said, "But do you remember how hard he used to work for Krishna? How he used to keep everything neat and tidy?" He listed so many qualities. In fact, the devotees never spoke such things about him anymore. A little devotional service outweighs millions of faults. When Prabhupada first brought his Western disciples to India, some people criticized them. Because they were new, they didn't know so many points of Vedic culture. You don't know, you might like Gauranga on your foot or something you don't know. So in India there are so many different points that people follow. And when they saw the Western devotees, so many different things, points of cleanliness, and they didn't know, and they didn't follow. And some people criticized that these people, they're just lectures, they're not sadhus. Sadhus are expected to follow all these things more. But Prabhupada used to say, alright, okay, they're new, they're not so much trained and this and that, but they're chanting Hare Krishna. From their birth, they're eating meat and so many things, but now they've given up all these things. And they're chanting Hare Krishna. So we should see the good means that we should appreciate the endeavor of devotees to be Krishna conscious. Those who are much senior to us, practically we shouldn't see their faults, if there are any. Even if there are, we shouldn't see them. That should be our attitude. Those who are more or less on an equal level with us, then if there's some point which for the benefit of them, then it needs to be pointed out, we must point it out. And those who are just new, who need so much guidance, we should be kind enough to guide them. A new devotee goes in the toilet, doesn't wash his hands afterwards, should we, well, just see the good in him. No, you should tell him. The rule, you have to wash your hands. As far as correcting seniors is concerned, there's an interesting story I'll tell you. One of my godbrothers, he often, whenever I met him, he would always criticized another of our godbrothers who was very senior. Mm-hmm. But this time when I saw him, he told me he had a dream. Now, we don't always put so much stuff on dreams, but this was a dream about Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said dreams about the spiritual master are spiritual. So he had the dream that he was sitting in front of Prabhupada and saying, "Well, this devotee, you know, he does this and he does that and he does all this wrong." And Prabhupada was just, that's all right, that's... And, but Prabhupada, you don't understand, he does this and he says that. But whatever he said, Prabhupada said, that's all right. But then his devotee noticed he was sitting on the same level as Prabhupada. Then he realized that he was taking the same position as Prabhupada in trying to correct that devotee. Whereas actually it was not his position to correct him, it was Prabhupada's position to correct him. That's what he understood. These are points of Vaishnava etiquette. Very, can be a very subtle thing. Any other questions? Alright, well, if there's no more questions. I'm planning to come for the seminar next year. Planning? Let's see what Krishna's plan is. In Islam they say, Inshallah. You don't know this? It's in Islam, if someone says, "Tomorrow I will go to such and such a place," they'll say, "Inshallah, if God wills." It's a very good thing. Krishna, God willing. You may say, "I will do this, I will do that." But everything ultimately is in the hands of God. So, I'm planning to come to Croatia again next year. When are you all coming to Mayapur? Yeah, I'll come come to the Mayapur Gopanima festival. Prabhupada wanted as many devotees as possible to come to this. Once one of his GBC, once the devotees all came to America, the GBC from Los Angeles West Coast came to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "Where are all the devotees?" He only got a few devotees. And said, "Well, you know, we didn't want to bring so many devotees because it's very expensive, and then they get sick, and then all the sankirtan collection is lost while they're away." Prabhupada listened to all his reasons. He told him, "Immediately go back to America and bring 200 devotees more." Prabhupada, it will cost so much money, it doesn't matter. Never spend money. We have so many problems with the mind and so many different problems. Come and take bath in the kirtan and the Ganga in the airport. Wash away all the dirt in the heart. Just like in this seminar, this camp, everyone's feeling some bliss of Krishna consciousness, I hope. Because when more devotees come together, then there's more. It's like that analogy of the twigs and the sticks all bound together. So these kind of seminars are very good. You should have as much as possible. And Mayapur festival, it's like this, except there are many, many, many more devotees. And it's not in Croatia, it's in Mayapur. We should make Croatia fully spiritual, just like Mayapur. Everyone chanting Hare Krishna. That atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere, that is incomparable. So we should all go there. As much as possible. Go to the Mayapur festival. So I hope to see you all there. Krishna willing. Krishna wants it, no doubt. When the Srimad Bhagavatam is described, what is the situation of the spiritual world? That is written, Nitya Mahotsav, means every day a festival. They might think, well, that's too much. I'm just waiting for it to be over so I can go home and take some rest. But one nice thing about being in the spiritual world is that you don't get tired. Or even if you do get tired, that's blissful too. But then there's more pastime. Krishna lies down to go to sleep, immediately falls asleep. And he gets up and jumps out the window and goes to have Rasa-lila. So you won't get tired. That we're looking forward to. So we'll all meet together in the spiritual world. So we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. Someone asked Prabhupada, is ISKCON eternal? Prabhupada said, yes, we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. Everyone will join there except Mr. Naya. You don't know who Mr. Naya is. That he was fighting against Prabhupada to try to cheat him of the land on which that Hare Krishna land in Bombay is built. Prabhupada said, we will all go back to the spiritual world and we'll have ISKCON there. Everyone except Mr. Naya. Prabhupada remembered him, so probably he'll go too. By his blessing. Prabhupada said once, he was saying, somehow or other we have to be in contact with the devotees. We have to keep in association with devotees. But serving the lotus feet of the devotees, this is my desire birth after birth. So Prabhupada said, somehow or other we should keep in association with the lotus feet of the devotees. Just like the crocodile was biting the foot of Gajendra. The crocodile was biting the foot of Gajendra the elephant. You all know that story? Gajendra, the elephant, was a great devotee in his previous life. He was Indradyumna Maharaj, the original. But somehow or other, he was cursed to become an elephant. So one day, he went into the lake, and a crocodile caught his foot, and they were fighting for 1,000 years of the demigods. Then, Gajendra remembered his previous life and remembered Lord Vishnu and prayed to him. And Lord Vishnu immediately came on Garuda and cut the head of the crocodile with his Sudarshan chakra. And that crocodile in his previous life had been a Gandharva, but he was cursed to become a crocodile. When he was freed from that curse by the grace of Lord Vishnu. So he was delivered because he was in contact with the lotus feet of the devotees. Of course, We don't recommend biting the feet of the devotee. It's really what you're supposed to take the dust of the feet or the water that has washed the feet. You're not supposed to bite the feet. Although Lord Chaitanya did put his toe once in the foot, his toe in the mouth of Shivananda Sen's son, lucky boy. But generally we don't recommend. But the point is that even though he was in contact with the devotees, even not very favorably, still he was delivered. So somehow or other people are in contact with Krishna consciousness, they will be benefited. Krishna is all auspicious. And if we approach him even unfavorably, then Krishna will benefit us. Krishna always wants to do good to us. Just like Putana, she approached Krishna unfavorably, but because there is a little bit of desire, of good desire there, Krishna delivered her. What happened in when Bali Maharaj was arrested by Vamanadeva? So Bali Maharaj's sister, what happened? First of all, Vamanadeva came, and Bali Maharaj's sister saw, oh, what a nice, beautiful young boy. And she thought, oh, if I had such a nice son like that, I would like to feed my breast milk. But then Vamanadeva cheated Bali Maharaj's kingdom, humiliated him. And Bali Maharaj's sister, she was from Bhumani's family, so she became very upset, and then she thought, I'd like to kill him. So in her next life, she became Putana, and she went with poisoned breath to kill Krishna. And Krishna sucked her breath and sucked out her life and killed her. So in this way, Krishna, he punished her in that way, and that finished off her offenses. Punishment. But Krishna remembered that she had some sentiment to become like my mother and feed the breast. So, having freed her from the offense, then he gave her the position of his mother. In fact, Krishna has so many mothers, not only Mother Yashoda. There are all the elderly cowherd men and women who are the age of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And they all treat Krishna just like their own son. We'll see that even now in the villages in India, the joint families, and they're all open home, and the children run in and out of all the different homes playing. And there's a lot of affection, so the next time, sometimes they'll go in the house, and they're in their friend's house, and they're feeding something, and the young child very innocent will say, oh, that looks very nice, and they'll feed them the whole meal. So very affectionately, all these women in the village are mothers to all the children in the village. But when we're talking about making Krishna conscious farm communities, it doesn't mean everyone has a little house and shuts up their home inside, but it becomes like really a big family. So Krishna is so kind, if anyone approaches him in any way, Krishna will benefit them. We want to be Krishna's devotees, we want to serve Krishna favorably. But even if someone approaches Krishna in any way, that is for their benefit. So at one time, and it's from about 1974, for a few years, in Germany there was so much publicity, bad publicity about our movement. In most of the newspapers, every day there were big articles. Hare Krishna devotees are thieves, cheats, liars, murderers, child kidnappers, and just all kinds of horrendous propaganda. So we've already told Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is very bad, all this bad propaganda. Prabhupada said that's very good. Yeah. Every day in the newspaper says Hare Krishna. So every day they're reading, and they're reading Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, becoming purified. At least I think our movement is very important. And that actually happened, that after some time, the more intelligent people, especially young people, they start to think, well, Hare Krishna must be something very good about it. Otherwise, why would the establishment be so much against it? When do you know when you're ready to go to India? Well, you have to have a ticket and a passport and enough money. Then you're ready to go. If you haven't been before, it's best to go in a group. It's not a very good idea to go on your own. Don't go to India, go to Mayapur, Vrindavan. Don't go see the Taj Mahal, don't waste your time with that. I lost the train of what you're talking about. I followed it up to about 4 feet and I wanted to shave your beard. And then what happened after? Yeah. So why don't you shave your head and don't color your shika or put tattoos on? If others don't come to the proper standard, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't. Vaishnava appearance helps us to identify ourselves as devotees of Krishna.
Okay.
It's helpful. That's why Prabhupada gave that to us.
Okay.
Everything that Prabhupada taught us was for a reason. He also said that you could be Krishna conscious in a pants and shirt, karma clothes. But he did prefer that we dress like this because it gives us some strength of mind that we identify ourselves as devotees of Krishna. As far as realization that we're not the body, realization that we're a spirit soul, that comes from acting on the platform of soul. The activity of the soul is to serve Krishna. So realization that we are not this body comes when we serve Krishna. Gradually realization will increase more and more. I was talking about that anyway, sometime in the seminar I was talking about Prabhupada was saying about initiated and non-initiated just previously. So that we don't push anyone to be initiated, we present this philosophy and we invite people to come. Actually, Prabhupada did sometimes push some people to be initiated, but generally, as a general principle, for their own spiritual advancement, there's a general principle. The general principle is that we present Krishna consciousness, and those who want to can come forward to be initiated. So, Prabhupada said the difference is that as long as someone's not initiated, they can come and visit us, they can come visit our temples as friends, as guests. But when they're initiated, it means they have some commitment to follow, to be a disciple. And there are some rules for disciples. Of course, there are rules. One of them is that you should shave the beard if you want to be a disciple. If devotees are pushing you, well, that's pushing you out of desire to see you come to the standard of more surrender, more Krishna consciousness. Doesn't mean that just by shaving your beard you become fully Krishna conscious, but it does mean that you've made some commitment to a way of life that is favorable for making more and more advancement. One story: once one school teacher approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur after initiation. That he was a headmaster of a school, so. You know, it would have been quite prestigious, you might think, to initiate such an educated person. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "All right, I'll initiate you, show your beard." So he said, "Actually, I'm quite attached to my beard." So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him that, you have to choose. Do you love your beard more, or do you love Krishna more? He chose his beard. He wasn't fit for initiation. Srila Prabhupada also would generally insist that initiation, everyone should have a shave, men should have a shave. Even if they're working outside, just at least on that one day to show their commitment. Although he didn't always insist, but he preferred that. Long hair covered the men, he didn't like it at all. There's that story that the devotees were showing a picture of Lord Chaitanya in his household, like he had long hair. So Prabhupada said, "Yeah, but after he took sannyas, he was shaved." And Prabhupada said, "Lord Chaitanya has come to save you." Prabhupada had Bengali pronunciation. So in Bengali, there's no sound. There's only sh. So when he said, "Lord Chaitanya came to save you," you sound a little bit like "come to shave you." So the devotees couldn't understand. And Prabhupada saw that and Prabhupada laughed and he said, that's what I will come to save you and to shave you. Okay, take him out and shave him out. My Pradasa shows me today, another candidate. When you're ready. Don't move it too long. Got to surrender to Krishna sometime. We'll love you, beard or no beard. But we'll love you better with Krishna. I have a question. What's the best kind of glow, Gillette? Do you think you saw? Prabhupada liked Gillette best of all. The Rangavati told me, Rangavati, he asked for blows for shaving, and he got it, and he looked at it, and he said, not Gillette, simply bogus, and threw it away. So, nobody had better things for Gillette. Now all the devotees, I said, was it Gillette or was it? I can't remember which one it was. I think it was Gillette. I'll ask Janananda. There are many, many instructions Prabhupada gave. You know, just two devotees. The same devotee who told me that told me one thing, that he was once at Bhaktivedanta Mana, that book temple we have in, just outside London. And he was just in the temple room, chanting the ground or something, and the pujari was there also. Then some guests came in the temple. And shortly after that, Srila Prabhupada came in the temple room. Which is very unusual in the middle of the morning. Prabhupada didn't usually come at that time. The devotees offered their obeisances as Prabhupada is offering his obeisances. Prabhupada asked the pujari, have the guests offered their obeisances? No, Prabhupada said, the pujari's duty to teach the guests who come to the temple. They should bow down before the deity, either from the right side or from the left side, but they must offer their obeisances. And anything. Gauranga! Anyone? Gauranga! Gauranga! Don't say anything. Turn up on the part of Jesus. There's more transcendental ecstasy there. So we really got them going now. Any other question?
One question, please. Акомали бахте вида да се стари бахте ми подумвала лесности етикета, што би треба и направити. И со лонго бивајки се и за ето ново да бивајки и за стикен со лесен етикет, јати што ќе бе.
What should who do?
Лонго бивајки.
Junior devotee? Now the general etiquette is that junior should not correct the senior. If there's any really serious problem, you may refer it to a more senior devotee. Generally, we should think that Krishna will take care. For example, I just gave that the dream. Another story, the GBC in England at that time, he helped Prabhupada very much in the early days of the movement, but he was quickly into Maya, and he wasn't seeing much of the temple. And the devotees naturally were very concerned. So, Vishnu Maharaj told me that he was like the leader of the devotees in England at the time. And he said, more than once he went to Prabhupada and complained. Prabhupada Vishnu Maharaj, you didn't cover that man in here. He's been everywhere in the world except here. He was the leader of the devotees in England at that time. He was the kind of president that he was overseeing all the four temples from Sankirtan then. He was the manager of all the temples, but he used to spend 5 days a week on traveling Sankirtan. Several times he complained to Prabhupada. The Prabhupada just said, give me another chance, give me another chance, give me another chance. Prabhupada Srinivas said to me, because I was complaining to him again, that what he saw of Prabhupada was that someone who's done a lot of service, Prabhupada, especially anyone, but especially someone who's done a lot of service, Prabhupada was, he didn't want to cut them. He wanted to give them a chance to serve Krishna. As Maharaj said that Prabhupada wouldn't hang them, but he would let them hang themselves. In other words, if someone is making a mistake, either he's going to become purified by Krishna consciousness, or if he doesn't properly follow Krishna consciousness and he makes offenses, then he will have to go away from Krishna consciousness. So either way, it's not our concern. Well, that's already answered.
Što se tiče ovog odnosa mojih bhaktana, ne smije ispraviti stari, ona je najbolje razumjela da osoba treba učiti s primjerom, što znači ako nam je bhakta koji nam je primjer, rabi grešku, onda i mi isto radimo grešku, što sve kasnije te greške su stale da su pravilne. Ugađam da relationship between Vinaya devotees and senior devotees. Not as understood that we should learn by following an example. And when a senior devotee says that an example is making mistakes, so do we.
It's the situation in this country is that Satchinanda Maharaj was talking about that in his lecture of boiling the milk. Once, in about 1971, Prabhupada wrote a letter and said that now we have enough devotees, now we should just work on boiling the milk. That means to bring up to a higher standard the devotees we have. At that time, there were only about 300 devotees in the movement. Of course, Prabhupada didn't stop expanding the number of devotees, but he was concerned that the devotees would come to be trained. In this country, I see that due to the circumstances, even the senior devotees they came up, they didn't actually have that much training. The Krishna as Paramatma helps in so many ways. But without the other manifestation, the external manifestation, the physical, the spiritual master, the training of the disciple.
Yes.
So lacking that, there may be various misunderstandings and anomalies. That is part of the difficulties of being in a pioneering movement. Devotees who are brought up in Krishna consciousness in traditional Vaishnava families in India, they're trained from the beginning of life in all these things. You'll see women bringing their children are like this big, and they'll bring them to the temple and touch their head to the floor. And the child at that age, they have no idea what's going on, but the mother thinks that the child should bow down, and they're trained from the very beginning, I think. And they see children, they grow up imitating their parents. And when they see their parents, the parents come in the temple and they bow down, the children do it automatically from the earliest age. So that kind of training hasn't been there in the Western countries. So we may be suffering from that to some extent. Generally, seeing the devotees they are, we respect them as sinners because they are more trained than us, even though they may not be as fully trained as we might hope. Gradually, more of this culture is becoming available. I hope next year when I come, I can bring that book. I don't know if it'll be ready. I'm writing I have been writing for many years, a very big book in great detail on Vaishnava etiquette, culture and behavior. In great detail, things like you shouldn't wear Harinam chadars on the lower part of your body. You shouldn't read it with the script upside down, say, Hare Krishna. You shouldn't. You know, there are so many things. In one temple I went in, you saw the table cloth covering was a Harinam chadar, but that's the name of Krishna. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't use it for Mandan. Or sometimes the devotees make an altar with the Harinam chadar, but then that means you've got Prabhupada's picture. Prabhupada doesn't want to sit on the name of Krishna. So these are all different points. There are many, many points. So gradually all these things are coming. Cultured behavior, as far as like relations and dealings, that comes from being devotees. If we're actually sincere devotees developing the Vaishnava spirit, then we don't need to read a book or be told to respect other Vaishnavas. It will come automatically in the heart. The Vaishnava culture means the culture of the soul. It's not like an artificial, it's not some, as Prabhupada said, Krishna culture is not an artificial imposition. Automatically. So, all the qualities of Vaishnavas automatically develop in someone, all the good qualities automatically develop in someone who's actually advancing Krishna consciousness. Doesn't look good if a devotee is proud, belligerent, lazy, all these things. No, devotee is reservoir of all good qualities as Krishna is. These local people are coming. They're surprised. So many young men and women together and they're not smoking or drinking or having sex. They respect that. So, devotees, by their behavior, that's one important part of preaching. Religion is established in the world by the behavior of devotees. Most people, to understand this philosophy will take them quite some time. But if they see that our devotees are very special people, that the way they behave, that because they follow all these principles and they don't care for anything for themselves, they'll see that they have something very positive. There's some propaganda that our devotees are brainwashed. Very insidious propaganda. Insidious means nasty, and it's like you can say like punching below the belt. Because you see these people, they see our devotees are working hard and being austere. And the reason they're doing it is because they're inspired by Krishna consciousness. They've developed such saintly qualities that they put service to Krishna above anything else, above any self-interest. But people who are grossly materialistic, they don't like this. They think that everybody should be a gross sense gratifier like themselves. And they don't like that the devotees, because it shows, the behavior of the devotees shows how selfish and self-centered the karma is. So therefore they make propaganda that you are brainwashed, you have lost your mind, and therefore you're working hard for others without any sense gratification. So in this way, they try to explain away the saintly quality of dedication and sacrifice for Krishna as being some defect in the mind. But people who are more pious, they will appreciate what the devotees are doing. And that's coming more and more all over the world. I think that's almost from the beginning that's been here in this country. I think the people in this country must be quite pious. Most people, when they hear that the devotees are, what they're doing, how they rise early, they follow those principles, they dedicate their lives to God, people out there respect that. Satchidananda Maharaj was saying in his lecture that he thinks Kalisha could become one of the first bastions of Krishna consciousness, where Krishna consciousness is very strong. There's good prospects for spreading Krishna consciousness. I've been translating all day, tired. Difficult service. You should be grateful also. Serving all the devotees by translating. So I think I just tell a story then of Madhav Maharaj was telling me that he was in these villages in eastern Croatia and giving lectures in piles of rubble shortly after the war. And sometimes the village drunks would come and interfere. But the old women who had come to listen, they would say, "Hey, stop, he's a priest. Don't say anything bad." It means that people here have some respect for religious people. So if we stick to our principles, they respect us more and more. But if we don't stick to our principles, then it doesn't matter what philosophy we speak, no one's going to listen to it. Do stick to our principles of purity are so on such an elevated level, our philosophy is absolutely perfect, then Krishna consciousness will spread automatically. But if we don't behave properly as Vaishnavas, then our movement can't spread properly. People will be discouraged. People read these books, they become excited. So wonderful, the knowledge in these books. That Madhav Maharaj is also telling me, he was in the jungle in Mexico, hundreds of miles from any town, hundreds of kilometers. And when they saw some other people, which is unusual in that place, some villagers living in the jungle. So those people saw, one of the men looked and he saw the book, Sua Bhavana Gracia, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I said, "Oh, you have one of those books." One of my friends, he went to Mexico City and got one of those books. I always wanted to have one of those books. In the most remote place, you're surprised even the people can read, but not only they can read, but they want Prabhupada's books. So people become very excited when they read these books, such wonderful principles. I saw both in Belgrade, I was speaking to the parents of one of my disciples, and on the plane coming from London to Zagreb, I was speaking to Croatian husband and wife. They were, I guess, just a little bit older than me. And in both cases, I was very much impressed how people here, even older people like that, they're very much open to accept our philosophy. So, but if they read these books and then they come and see the devotees don't really live up to the standards, they may be disappointed. Okay. So on one hand, we don't condemn devotees. They're not coming up to the proper standard. We try to help them to come up. Okay. On the other hand, we should understand the importance of coming to a proper standard of Vaishnava behavior. Okay. Otherwise, our movement cannot progress properly. Now, another angle on this is that sometimes devotees think, well then, we should just be very nice to people and not try to disturb them in any way. We should just present ourselves as nice, ordinary people. But that isn't real niceness. Niceness means we're gentlemanly in our dealings, but we are strong in our principles. I'm going to stop here because you need to come here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Can't wait? No, it's better not to do that. We should know the deity is Krishna, do everything for his pleasure. So we may be learning to play the instruments for his pleasure, but in the state of learning, it's not very pleasurable.
He's interested to know how does the spirit soul look like.
Well, some look like cows, and some look like cowherds, and some like dolphins. Depends, there's different forms. In material existence, there's a difference between the soul and the body. The original spiritual identity is covered with the material body, and the soul is figuratively described as being the size 10,000, the tip of a hair. But when we're liberated from the material coverings, then we attain our original spiritual form. There's no difference between the soul and the body. So in the spiritual world, some living beings have formed as cows, some as cow have birds, some as birds. The body is not different than the soul.
Present situation in Croatia is very difficult than talking in financial terms. Regarding the
other places are not, yeah. Other places are worse. It's just like sometimes, you know, you see in the economic crisis in England or something like that. I was staying in Bangladesh reading economic crisis in England. That means instead of buying 10 packs of beer, you can only buy 3 packs of beer. All these things, these are all economic means people have food, shelter, clothing, all these things. These are economic difficulties are made by artificial living. Otherwise, by God's arrangement, there's enough. By nature's gifts, God's arrangement, there's enough food, there's enough arrangement for shelter, for clothing. But because we think we need so many artificial things, therefore there becomes an imbalance in the economy. If you want to see what economic difficulty means, go to Bangladesh, some of the villages of Orissa, some of these places. I'm sure there are so many other places. These are places I know. Yeah, well, I just wanted to qualify that because people think, oh, there's so much economic problem. We don't know what economic problem is.
Как говорим о экономическом проблеме, мы слышим само то разъяснить, да, и стали обычно все не знаем, что все правы экономические проблемы. The rest is saying that because of this financial economic crisis, she thinks that it would be difficult to educate devotees because we see this lack of education. But how it is going to be
a part of the deal with economics?
That is also resume. Because usually it is considered that devotees must be much more engaged in financial support of the temple, and so they do not have enough time for education.
No, the thing is that we have our temple programs, class every day, Prabhupada class morning and evening. It's not that because certainly devotees, they may go for book distribution, so many services. It doesn't mean we're going to stop having our classes. Yes. And educating the devotees doesn't mean that we're going to be sitting all day just reading also. The general program is that we have the classes morning and evening and during the day various services. Try to read Prabhupada's books as much as possible. From time to time there may be camps like this where there's more intensive seminars for education. Education means it will take some time also. You're not going to learn everything all at once. And an important part of the education is learning to surrender to Krishna and to learn to serve Krishna. Not just theoretical, but practical also. Once one devotee, he was from America, but he was living in Vrindavan, he learned all the verses of Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit with translation. And if you ask him any verse, chapter 7, verse 20, you get immediately straight verse translation. So he's very eager that Prabhupada should know about this.
He
took so much time to learn all these verses. So he kept on saying to the temple president, why don't you introduce me to Prabhupada that I've learned all these verses? So the temple president didn't really want to, but he really kept on pushing him. So one day he brought him into Prabhupada's room. So Prabhupada said, this is Pandavik Prabhu, he's learned all the verses of Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada said, very good. Make sure he does something practical. Other times, just like another instance, two devotees went. What happened, Prabhupada in Bombay, he was speaking to some guests, and one devotee, Bhagavat, looked in Prabhupada's room, wanted to see Prabhupada, but he saw his senior guests, so he went out with him and started to go out again. So Prabhupada called him and said, come. Prabhupada said, no, I don't disturb you, Prabhupada, I'll come back later.
Yeah.
Prabhupada told him, come and sit down. Yeah. And then a couple of minutes later, Kumar Krishna Maharaj also came, and the same thing happened with him. Then Prabhupada went on speaking to his guest for half an hour, he never said anything to Bhagavata or Kumar Krishna Maharaj. Last, Prabhupada turned to Kumar Krishna Maharaj and Bhagavata. You must listen to me preach, you must hear me preach every day, otherwise how will you learn to preach? And then Prabhupada had quoted one verse in the course of his preaching, and he asked the devotees, he asked them, what is the meaning of this verse? And Kumar Krishna Maharaj looked at Bhagavata Prabhu and hoped he would say something, and Bhagavata Prabhu looked at Kumar Krishna Maharaj and hoped that he would say something, and neither of them said anything. And of course, I'm sure now, that was 20 years ago, there was still relatively young devotees at this time. So neither of them could say the verse, and so Prabhupada said, you're not reading my books. I can understand you're not reading my books, but you can't say the verse. Prabhupada said, every day you must read my books. Do you know that every day I read my own book? Do you know why every day I read my own book? Because every day when I read my book, I learn something. Do you know why I learn something every day from reading my books? Because I haven't written these books. Do you know who has written these books? Krishna has written these books. Every night when I sit down to write, Krishna comes and sits beside me and dictates. And whatever he says, I write it down. So Prabhupada says, you must read my books. So, on the one hand, when Bhagavata and Kumar Krishna couldn't say the verse, Prabhupada chastised him and said, you must study more. But when Pandavik Prabhu came and he learned all the verses of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada wasn't, make sure he does something practical. It means there must be a balance. Neither are we simply working, and not taking time to understand this philosophy. Nor should we simply become big pundits and not do any service to Krishna. Become proud, I learn so much. All of the learning is to bring us to the point of serving Krishna. But if we only serve Krishna without understanding why we are serving Krishna, then we won't be able to remain fixed in our service to Krishna. So there has to be a balance in all these activities. Service to Krishna in our movement starts latest at 4 o'clock in the morning. Have you seen that letter that Prabhupada wrote? All initiated devotees must, and there's a whole list. And the first thing is must rise by 4 a.m. Due to various circumstances, devotees living at home may not always be able to rise so early. But at least while we're here, we should, for these 2 days, we should try to rise early and see good attendance in Mangalavati. To rise early and to have a clear brain for chanting, it's good to take rest early. And with that last bit of practical advice, I'll finish the session. It's almost 9 o'clock. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All glory to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Should I announce the books? I think everyone saw them. Well, you say. If you didn't get them, which is not very likely, because I see everyone's walking around with them.